Hello, this is Hugh Baird, and I'm your moderator for this evening's discussion. I'm here with State Senator Art Haywood and his guest, Insurance Commissioner Jessica Altman. We want to welcome you to this live telephone town hall. If you have a question for Senator Haywood, press star 3 on your phone's keypad at any time. Now I'd like to welcome Senator Art Haywood.
Thank you, Hugh. I'm Senator Art Haywood, and I'm joined by my special guest, Acting Insurance Commissioner Jessica Altman. We will discuss the Affordable Care Act, how to enroll, where to get assistance, and answer any questions that you may have. This format will allow you to listen in and even ask a question from the comfort of your home. If you'd like to ask a question at any time, press star 3 on your phone. Thank you to all participating on tonight's call. Some of the best feedback and ideas I receive come directly from my neighbors. Let me now introduce Acting Insurance Commissioner Jessica Altman for a few opening remarks. Jessica.
Thank you so much, Senator Haywood, both for hosting this telephone town hall and for inviting me to be a part of it. You know, Governor Wolf and I both believe that it is so important to get accurate and comprehensive information about the Affordable Care Act out there, and this year perhaps even more than others. So this year, open enrollment is a little bit different than past years. You know, just quickly, the deadline to enroll is shorter. This year, you only have until December 15th. And really, the key this year is also to shop. This year looks a little bit different, and that means that actually for some people, there may be different products that are better or more affordable to them. So I really encourage everyone who thinks they may need insurance to actually log on and at least look at what options are available to them, and happy to answer any questions about how all this works or what consumers can do to get insurance. So thank you for having me.
Just as a reminder, for those of just joining us, if you have a question for Senator Haywood or Commissioner Altman this evening, press star 3 on your phone's keypad. As we're having folks join us here this evening, I know, Senator and Commissioner Altman, this is an important time for the Affordable Care Act, and even more important time for those who need access to health insurance. Can you describe some of the challenges that you see this year relative to last year, and how important it is for those who may think that they need health insurance to seek answers and to go onto the website or to seek information with navigators or others?
Yes, certainly. So there are really at least two big changes this year. The first is the enrollment period has in the past ended January 31, and now the enrollment period ends December the 15th. So the entire enrollment period has been cut in half, and that means we've got to get this done through the Thanksgiving holidays. We've got to get people to enroll now because there's half the time available to enroll. Second, the advertising of the enrollment period has been cut dramatically by the president. And so state senators, legislators, commissioners, other elected officials and advocates have had to pick up the advertising responsibility. We don't have a big advertising budget like the national government had, but it's our role to try to let as many people know as we can that the Affordable Care Act is still in place and that the deadline to enroll is December the 15th. I guess I would add one third item, and that is there's been a lot of conversation in the media about efforts to eliminate or repeal or change the Affordable Care Act. Some people may be confused and think some of that was successful. None of it was successful. The Affordable Care Act is still in place as it has been for the last 2 years, and the opportunity to get health care is still in place through December the 15th. So we really want to encourage people that health care that's affordable is available now. And that's why I'm so glad that Commissioner Altman has joined us on this call.
Sure, and thank you, Senator. I couldn't agree with anything that you said more. I think the one thing that I would add is you may have heard a lot on the news about President Trump's decision to end the payment of cost-sharing reductions, which is a financial assistance program that helps low-income individuals and families pay their out-of-pocket costs, like their deductibles and their co-payments. And I just want to assure everybody on the phone that, first of all, while he did cease making those payments, that benefit is still available to eligible individuals and families, as is the financial assistance that helps folks pay their monthly premium. So just because you've heard about that doesn't mean that assistance is not available. It is absolutely still available. So I just wanted to add that one. But, you know, the impact of that lack of CSR did increase some of the premiums in the market, and that's why you may have seen headlines about higher premiums. But what we've done here in Pennsylvania is make sure that the premiums are increasing only on the plans that your financial assistance would be based off of. So as that premium goes up, your financial assistance will go up along with it. And the other types of plans that may not have gone up so much in price, you may have more tax credit to be able to afford those plans. So you may be surprised when you log in to see perhaps even a bronze plan that the premium is $0 a month, although that has very high cost sharing, or a gold plan that has lower deductibles, lower co-payments that might be more affordable than even a silver plan would be. So it's really important this year more than ever to shop.
Thank you very much. Just as a reminder for those that have just joined us, if you have a question about the Affordable Care Act, now's the time to ask it. You can press that. You can get answers to your question by pressing *3 on your phone's keypad. I'm here with State Senator Art Haywood and Insurance Commissioner Jessica Altman. Again, if you have a question for Commissioner Altman or Senator Haywood, you can press *3 on your phone's keypad. Senator, we're going to go to the first caller this evening. We're going to go to David. David, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood and Commissioner Altman.
Good evening.
Good evening, David. Thanks for calling.
Yeah. I have a situation where I have a child who's over 26 and has not been able to obtain employment. If I keep him in my house as a dependent, I end up having to either purchase him health insurance or pay for him not having health insurance. If I put him on the street, gets picked up by somebody else. Seems like
I understand. Russell, keep going.
It just seems unbalanced that I should be... that I should be penalized for bringing him in under my roof.
Okay, David, thank you. Commissioner Altman, Senator Haywood.
So I would say that as a policy matter, the Affordable Care Act has a requirement that everyone be insured, and that's principally because only by having more people insured are we able to cover the cost for those who have pre-existing conditions. Only by having everyone insured are we able to cover the cost of having no lifetime bans. And so only by having everyone covered are we able to cover people for preventive care. Now, the penalty issue that you have described, it does sound challenging to me in terms of how you might absorb the cost of the penalty. Commissioner Altman, do you have the cost of the penalty for those who are not insured?
Sure. It's about a little bit between $650 and $700 per person per year.
$650 to $700. So I think that is a challenging question in terms of how you handle that within your family, to what extent the uninsured, unemployed child might over time be able to either pay the penalty if, in fact, they don't have health insurance or whether they want to find another location and get another get covered for health care in another location. I think it is a significant family question, certainly not one that I would try to jump into. But Commissioner Altman, do you have any further advice for David?
Sure. You know, I would really recommend speaking to someone in your community, and there are navigators available in all communities in Pennsylvania to help folks enroll in coverage and explore these issues. I think a lot of the questions about who counts as a dependent, how you filed your taxes, how you define your household can be very complicated. But speaking with someone who knows these issues might be able to help you work through whether, quite frankly, you need to consider your adult child as a member, a dependent for your taxes, as a member of your household, and what the implications would be for that. And if your son were not considered a dependent, that would have implications for your coverage and the penalty on your taxes, but also what he would be eligible for, given that he may not have an income, and that might make him eligible for different programs and different assistance. So I would recommend at least looking into that and seeing if there's a better way to structure your taxes and your household for your family. And if you'd like to speak with an... Sorry, go ahead, Senator. I was just going to say, if you would like to speak with a navigator, localhelp.hhs.gov is a search tool where you can find someone in your community to speak with.
And I did just want to add that at an Affordable Care Act event that we had in Cheltenham last week, I met at least two people who got health care plans at zero cost. And so there are health care plans that cost individuals nothing. I'm not sure if your son would be eligible for one of those, but there are plans where individuals end up paying, have no cost.
Well, David, thank you very much. Hope that information was helpful. Just as a reminder for those that have joined us, if you have a question about the Affordable Care Act for Senator Haywood or Insurance Commissioner Jessica Altman, please press *3 on your phone's keypad. That's *3 if you have questions concerning the Affordable Care Act. Senator, we're going to go back to the callers. We're going to go to Michael in Springfield. Michael, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood and Commissioner Altman. Michael, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, you're on with Senator Haywood and Commissioner Altman.
I'd like to know when I can shop for health insurance outside the state. I've had the same health insurers before Obamacare, and I have the same insurers after Obamacare, and my premiums haven't changed. If not, they've gone up. So I thought Obamacare was supposed to be like no-fault car insurance, where I had an open marketplace. So I could shop in Texas, California, Oregon for other providers to bring the costs down, and I have not seen that yet.
Commissioner Altman, you might want to address the geographic limitations of the plans.
Sure. So certainly the Affordable Care Act did create a marketplace, but it was always intended to be a local marketplace for the plans offering in your area. And the reason that is that health insurance is inherently local. You know, living in the Philadelphia area, you may not want a health plan in Texas or in Oregon because you don't see providers in Texas or in Oregon. And it is the health plans here in Pennsylvania and in Philadelphia that have a network of providers that are also in Pennsylvania and the Philadelphia area. You know, that being said, there are certain plans, and not knowing exactly where you live and what you would be eligible for, that do offer national networks. For example, Blue Cross Blue Shield plans through the Blue Card often offer products where you can access healthcare providers outside of the state. So you'd want to learn more about the products. But as I said, health insurance really is inherently local. It's based on the providers where you live, the cost of the services where you live, etc. So it is tied to where you live, and that was always the intent.
Thank you, Michael, and also thank you, David, earlier caller.
Thank you, Michael. And just as a reminder, if you have a question, press *3 on your phone's keypad. We're talking about the Affordable Care Act. Senator, we're going to go back to callers. We're going to go to Catherine. Catherine, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood and Commissioner Altman.
Yes. My son lives with me. He's 39 years old. For his job, he cuts grass. That's all he does. He doesn't make a big salary. He lives with me, so his other needs are met. So my question is, he pays $250 a month to Blue Cross. Is there any way to get help with that insurance or to buy health insurance cheaper?
Thank you, Catherine. Commissioner Altman, you may be in a better position to respond to this one as well.
Sure. Generally, if he's shopping on healthcare.gov, Healthcare.gov will factor in the subsidy that he is eligible based on his income in that final cost of the premium. So if he's not shopping on Healthcare.gov, first of all, I absolutely recommend doing that, as Healthcare.gov is the only place where you can go to buy coverage and get financial assistance made available by the federal government. The other thing that I will say, excuse me, I need to get a glass of water quickly, I'm sorry, Senator, can you give me one moment?
No problem.
That's certainly a good question to ask relative to shopping for different places given your different circumstances. Senator, have you encountered that when you were doing the call and doing the event in Cheltenham?
Very much so, and that's why these navigators are so valuable if you can spend some time with one. What the navigators do is a detailed assessment of your family and financial situation, and then they help you shop on healthcare.gov for the plans that are most suitable. And there, Commissioner Altman said at the outset, this year, shopping is more important than ever to get a plan that's most suitable for you. And now, if you don't have the advantage of spending time with an assister, then I believe the insurance department may have some tools to help you determine which plans are better for you. But it is entirely possible, I'm not certain, but it's entirely possible that through shopping, Catherine's son could get a rate that could possibly be less than $250, especially if he's not using healthcare.gov to help him find plans.
And Senator, I apologize. I have recovered, so apologies for that. What I would say is it sounds like your son may have a relatively low income, and if that is the case, he may be in this group of people that if you go and shop this year, you may find that there are actually more affordable options. He may find that a bronze plan, for example, could be $0 or very few dollars a month, and I always caution people about those bronze plans because the cost sharing is higher, but if it is the monthly premium that you're primarily concerned with, he may find better options. So really check on healthcare.gov for that. Now, if you think your son's income is higher than would be eligible for subsidies, we do make a tool available from the insurance department called Checkbook, pa.checkbook.org, where there are some more plans available than those available on healthcare.gov. But once again, healthcare.gov is the only place where you can get financial assistance made available by the federal government. So if you think you are eligible or might be eligible for financial assistance, or your son in this case, that's where you really want to go. But once again, this year might be different, and there really might be something more affordable than your son is currently paying. So at least go look.
A reminder for those that just joined us, if you have a question, you press *3 on your phone's keypad. And can I just follow up, Commissioner Allen, with a question you had just for the folks that are out there that may be interested in what you were talking about, is you reference cost sharing, deductibles, some items in insurance that maybe we need a refresher course on. I was wondering if you'd just go through those quickly.
Sure, absolutely. So I'll mention four things. One is premium. I think most people know what that is. That's the cost you pay every month to your insurance company for coverage. The second is a copayment. That's a fixed fee that you pay when you go to the doctor. So you may, if you go to your primary care doctor, have to pay $10 or $15, depending on the structure of your plan. Deductible is the really big one. Deductible is an amount of money that you have to pay out of pocket before your insurance kicks in. So if you have an $1,000 deductible, you'll have to pay $1,000 before your insurance coverage kicks in. That's common in all types of insurance, but perhaps more in health insurance than others. The one exception to that I just want to note is the Affordable Care Act does guarantee certain preventive health care services at no cost to the consumer outside of that deductible. So if you need a cancer screening, a vaccination, your annual checkup, those types of services, many of those should be available at no cost and not within your deductible. So we never want folks hesitating to receive those services. The fourth, and this will really only kick in if you have to go to the hospital or receive services, but that can be co-insurance. which means that you have to pay a certain percent of the care that you receive. I also just want to mention that all Affordable Care Act plans do have what we call a maximum out-of-pocket annual expenditure. So all of these things are limited in the amount that you may have to spend in a given year if you have catastrophic or really high healthcare needs. But those are the basic A to Z of the different types of cost-sharing or payments that you may have to make in your healthcare plan in a year.
Thank you. Senator, we're going to go back to the callers, but just before we do, again, if you have a question about the Affordable Care Act for Senator Haywood or Commissioner Altman, press *3, that's *3, to talk insurance tonight. Senator, we're going to go to the callers. We're going to go to Denise. Denise, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood and Commissioner Altman.
Hi. I just wanted to ask the Senator, with the upcoming tax bill on tax reform, them trying to tack on part of the Affordable Care Act, what is it the Democrats or you plan on doing to stop that from going through?
Thank you so much, Denise. So this is an item that's in the United States Senate, and the people who will ultimately make the decisions are those U.S. senators. In our state, that includes Senator Pat Toomey and Senator Bob Casey. And so what I am doing is encouraging individuals to contact Senator Casey and contact Senator Toomey and let them know that we want to preserve the Affordable Care Act and the individual mandate. And I believe we're in a position where it's going to take the demands of the citizens to change what Senator Toomey or Senator Casey may do. Now, it's my understanding that Senator Casey is already opposed to the elimination of the health care mandate. Haven't yet seen a clear position on Senator Toomey, but it's our role as citizens to make the demand and have these senators be accountable to us. So that's what I'm doing, and that's what I encourage you to do as well. And I appreciate you calling in, Denise, because it's only through the demands of the citizens that we're going to get any accountability from those who represent us in Washington, D.C.
Commissioner Altman, what would be the impact of removing the mandate on the insurance premiums and the insurance system overall, not only within the marketplace, but on other insurance products?
Sure. So first of all, I want to say that at least from the proposals we've seen, the individual mandate, if this moves forward, would be repealed as of 2019. So there won't be any impact to the plans available right now through open enrollment or the cost of those plans. So I don't want to discourage anyone from shopping and looking for their insurance. I do think that loosening the individual mandate or eliminating the individual mandate could have a significant impact on premiums. And in fact, the nonpartisan, unbiased Congressional Budget Office estimated that the premiums would be about 20% higher if the individual mandate were repealed. And the reason for that is just looking at an estimate of who's going to choose to buy insurance without that mandate. Will we have a large enough what we call risk pool where we have healthy people and unhealthy people balancing out to an affordable price? And I think the fear is that healthy people will choose to forego coverage, and that will mean that costs will rise for those who choose to buy coverage and really for those who need it most because they have healthcare needs. So that's the fear, approximately 20% rate impact, and also significantly fewer people projected to have coverage at all if that were to move forward. So we have a lot of concerns. Governor Wolf, myself, and others in the administration will also use our voices, as we all, Senator Haywood and all of you can use yours to advocate to the Senate for common sense changes that will benefit all and not these changes that really risk the affordability and choice in our market.
Thank you. Just a reminder, if you have a question concerning the Affordable Care Act, if you'd like to ask Senator Haywood or Commissioner Altman, please do so. You can press *3 on your phone's keypad. Senator, Commissioner, we're going to go back to the callers. We're going to go to Brenda. Brenda, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood and Commissioner Altman.
Thank you. I'd like to know what the qualifications are of people who are navigators, and if you could say again how you go about finding someone to help you.
Thank you so much, Brenda. Senator, excuse me, I'm coughing as well. Commissioner Altman, you might be best able to respond to that one.
Sure. So navigators actually have to be approved both by the federal government and the state government. At the federal level, they are grantees, so they go through an application process. They have to justify to the federal government that they are capable and able of providing these services. They also go through a fairly extensive training at the federal government to make sure that they understand the rules of the market, the different coverage options available, and all of those key things that we need to know. At the state level, we do register navigators similar to the way that we license agents and brokers who sell insurance products. So we run a background check and all of that good stuff just to make sure that these are bona fide individuals capable of really helping individuals and families make really critical financial decisions. So those are the requirements that they have to meet, and they provide really great service. To find them, once again, localhelp.hhs.gov is a tool to look and search for navigators in your community.
Let me also say that my office is in the process of putting together a final ACA enrollment event with navigators. We're looking to do it on December the 11th. All the plans have not yet been finalized, but please follow me on Facebook or contact my office before December the 11th, and we will have more information as we finalize plans so that individuals will be able to see navigators, have their questions answered before the December 15th deadline.
Brenda, thank you very much. Before we go to the next caller, just a reminder, if you have a question about the Affordable Care Act for Senator Haywood or Commissioner Altman, you press *3 on your phone's keypad. Senator, we're going to go to Jane. Jane, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood and Commissioner Altman.
My question is whether people who are currently receiving Medicaid in Pennsylvania have to reapply at this time.
Thank you so much, Jane, and allow Commissioner Altman to respond, but I'm pretty sure the answer to that one is no. But Commissioner Altman.
Yep, you got that one. The answer is no. If you are enrolled in Medicaid, if your children are enrolled in CHIP, or if you are enrolled in the Medicare program, Medicare does have an open enrollment during this time, but it's sort of a separate process that we'd have to talk separately about. But Medicaid, you are all set.
Thank you, Jane.
Thank you, Jane. I have a couple follow-up questions just in terms, because I know that as we're screening some more callers and getting them up on the line. Not only is insurance available on the exchange, but that it's also available off exchange. Could you explain the difference between those products for those that have joined us here this evening?
Sure. So really the only difference is that financial assistance is only available for those on-exchange plans, whereas for off-exchange-only plans it is not. But there are some plans that are offered off-exchange that are not offered on-exchange. And the reason that that's important is because when rates increased because of President Trump's decision to not make those cost-sharing reduction payments, they increased only on the plans offered on exchange because only individuals who shop on exchange can get those cost-sharing reductions. So if you are someone who knows that you are not eligible to receive financial assistance, if you go to our tool, pa.checkbook.org, and shop, you'll find these off-exchange-only plans that won't have that disproportionate increase that resulted from that decision. So really, these off-exchange plans, they have the same benefits, they have the same protections, all of those essential health benefits, preventive services, dependent coverage under age 26, all of that is the same. So if you know you're not going to receive financial assistance or you just want to explore what's available in the market before deciding to go all the way through the healthcare.gov process, pa.checkbook.org does have all of the individual market plans available for you to look through, explore, compare, and see what might be available to you.
Thank you. Senator?
I think that's tremendous. And what Commissioner Altman has described, I believe, does two things. One, for those who are going to be eligible for financial assistance, then there are plans for you at healthcare.gov. On the other hand, If you're not eligible for financial assistance, and you can find that out on healthcare.gov, if there's no financial assistance in the final framework for you, there's still another alternative. That's not the end. You can go to the insurance website for the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, and there are another set of plans that provide similar coverage that offer are hopefully affordable as well. And so I want to commend Commissioner Altman for recognizing and coming up with products along with the insurance companies here in Pennsylvania to meet the needs of those who may not be eligible for financial assistance so that they are not dramatically negatively impacted by the actions of the president. And so we in Pennsylvania have attempted to accommodate, to come up with plans for our citizens. And I just want to share that if you know people who are in New Jersey and they're talking to you about what's available, that may apply to New Jersey only. If you know people in Maryland and Delaware and they're talking to you about what's available, that may be Maryland and Delaware. We in Pennsylvania have come up with something for our residents, for people who live here, that is different than New Jersey, different than Delaware, different than Maryland. And so I encourage you to focus on what we have here in Pennsylvania. We've taken the commissioner has described some exceptional leadership. So we've got two routes to get people insured.
Yeah, just as a reminder, if you have a question for Senator Haywood or Commissioner Altman concerning the Affordable Care Act, press *3 on your phone's keypad. And as we're waiting for some other callers to come online, just as a follow-up question to really what is going on the national scene. We know that President Trump has made it a particular initiative of his is to get rid of the Affordable Care Act. And that, and in your view, Senator and Commissioner, as you're out talking with folks in the communities, has that impacted the participation rate? Has that, and how has that affected how that the insurance, the marketplace, and the general insurance market has been behaving?
I can't speak to the general insurance market, but I am aware of a number of people who are under the illusion that the health care is no longer available. And partly that's because of what's in the media, but it's also because of what's not in the media. And that, by that I mean what's not in the media are the advertisements that were done before, all the promotions that were done before. None of that's present. None of that's available because of the agenda of the president. And it's created some very significant challenges for us. I saw a report that in 2016, there are a little bit over 12 million Americans who signed up under healthcare.gov, who signed up under the ACA, about a little bit over 12 million. And as of last week, we were under 2 million that have signed up. And we only got about 4 weeks to go. So I don't know if we can hit 2 million a week to get to a better place. So I'm very concerned that we may not hit the 12 million, and that means that there'll be fewer people covered with health insurance in 2018 than there were this year. And that's a mistake. Obviously, we want to make sure that the entire nation is covered so that we can have healthy families and healthy children and people can get preventive care. So I'm extremely concerned that we may not hit the 12 million number that we hit last year.
Commissioner Altman?
Sure. You know, the interesting thing is, and I couldn't agree with Senator Haywood more on the importance of getting the word out and getting folks enrolled. We have seen some early reports that if you compare, for example, the first 2 weeks of open enrollment this year to the first 2 weeks of open enrollment last year, that more people have enrolled in that time. And that leads me to two things. First of all, my hope is that all this talk of losing the Affordable Care Act is really highlighting the importance of coverage, the value that and access that the Affordable Care Act has brought to our communities and giving people a renewed sense of the need to get insurance, particularly while we still have the Affordable Care Act. I think also, however, doing the same as well in enrollment in the first 2 weeks, when you have an enrollment period that is half as long. We need to do a lot better. We need to have a lot more people enrolling each week in order to make sure we keep our coverage levels the same. And Pennsylvania is currently at an all-time low rate of uninsurance. We're at 5.6%, which is just by far the lowest we have ever had in Pennsylvania, down from over 10% just before the Affordable Care Act took place. So we really need to protect that progress. And I'm hopeful that we can do that by phone calls like this, by conversations with folks like Senator Haywood, to make sure that everybody understands not only that the Affordable Care Act is still here and you can enroll, but also that you should, and you should shop and look at what's available.
And I do want to share sometimes a misconception about insurance. I was at an event back in 2010, and just when we were debating the Affordable Care Act, and a guy came to the mic and said, "Hey, I don't want to pay for the insurance of anybody else. I'm paying for my insurance. I don't want to cover anyone else." And that kind of approach is fundamentally flawed. The whole idea of insurance is that a group of people put in so they can cover accidents of one or two or three. Insurance is always based upon a pool, a group of people putting in enough money so individual claims, individual insurance claims can be paid. So we are always paying for the insurance of others. Health insurance is fundamentally based on each of us paying for the insurance of others. And so in health insurance as well, this is an area where we can't go it alone. We can't go it alone to have $1 million of hospital coverage in the event of some health conditions. We just can't. And so what we have in the Affordable Care Act is one approach to get as many people covered in so that we can therefore cover those who have pre-existing conditions, cover those who might otherwise have lifetime bans, cover those who have serious debilitating medical conditions. That's the only way they can be covered in a way that's affordable, which is why Commissioner Altman's statement that eliminating the individual mandate may cause the healthy people to not be covered, therefore just leaving the very sick with health insurance and therefore not being able to spread the cost in a way that's affordable. That's a core challenge we can only address by getting all of us in.
If you have a question for Senator Haywood or Commissioner Altman, you can press *3 on your phone's keypad. I wanted to follow up based on something you had indicated, Senator and Commissioner, if you can contribute on this. I know this is a federal, the federal healthcare marketplace is a federal activity. You know, one of the questions we always confront is, what's the state's role? What can the state do to relative to the marketplace itself or to encourage folks to understand a little bit more about the insurance market and sign up for coverage? What's the state role? What's the state's role?
Commissioner Altman has taken quite a bit of leadership in defining the state role, and I think it would be a good time for her to share it.
Sure. You know, the Affordable Care Act anticipated a true partnership between the federal government, who sets these baseline rules, run this marketplace, and the state, whose job is really on the ground to, obviously, we approve the health insurance products available. We approve the rates that insurance companies can charge. And on the ground, it's our job to make sure that insurance companies are providing all of the various benefits they're required to under law and complying with the law. So it is supposed to be this partnership. And unfortunately, right now, the federal government really isn't holding up their end of the bargain. They're creating a lot of uncertainty and questions about the future of our healthcare system and this market. Their decisions to cut the funding for outreach and education and advertising, to shorten the open enrollment period, and to cut the funding for the Navigator program, and the people who really are in our communities every day trying to get people enrolled are really unfortunate. And so, you know, for us at the state level, we're where the rubber meets the road. It's still my job at the end of the day to make sure that we have insurance coverage available in all 67 of Pennsylvania's counties to everybody who needs it. And we have done that, even though it has been a challenge. And it's also my job to step up when I see something that needs to be done and the federal government hasn't done it, to try and do it ourselves. And in no way is the resources of the Pennsylvania Insurance Department comparable to those of the federal government. But we are running our own outreach campaign. Governor Wolf and I are doing everything we can to get the information out. And so that's really our job at the state, is to understand what's happening on the ground, understand the issues that face all of you in our communities, and do whatever is in our power to address those. Now, of course, there are things not in our power, and a lot of things are happening at the federal government. And in that, we will continue to be a voice for positive change, a voice against harmful change, and a voice really, really for reason. And that's really our job.
Senator, do you have anything to add?
I think that shows the leadership of the Wolf administration, as well as Commissioner Altman. We are fighting right alongside, which is why we have had the ACA enrollment event last week, and why we have had why we have Commissioner Altman on tonight, why we plan to do another event on the 11th. And right now, our chief agenda is to get as many people enrolled before December the 15th. Now, that's priority number one, because families need to be covered. Families need to be covered in the event of any one illness or another. And without insurance, we're going to have individuals who have health needs, and instead of going to a doctor or a primary care physician, they're going to end up in the emergency rooms. And, of course, if you've been in an emergency room any time recently, there are often long waits. And emergency room care is the most expensive care in the whole healthcare system. So we want to keep people out of the emergency rooms into the primary care physicians and ophthalmologists and dentists, where they can be seen much more affordably and with people who they know and have built a relationship with.
And I just really want to commend Senator Haywood and really a number of his colleagues in the General Assembly across the state, because they are creating a grassroots movement to have these open enrollment events to speak to their constituents and communities about these issues, and to bring navigators into the community and make sure that they're accessible for those that need assistance. So really a lot of great work throughout the state, the governor, his administration, but also the General Assembly, and certainly a number of our elected officials in Washington. Senator Casey has been a great champion for positive change as well. So a lot of great work that we're trying to get done at the state at all levels.
Thank you. A reminder, if you have a question about the Affordable Care Act, press *3 on your phone's keypad. Senator, we're going to go back to the callers. We're going to go to Cheryl. Cheryl, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood and Commissioner Altman.
Hi, Senator Haywood, and Senator call the other name you said. My name.
Thank you for calling. Thank you.
And I was wondering, they said, from what I had understood, that the older you are, like, it's going to be not affordable. Like, the younger you are, it's going to be cheaper. And then when you're older, like, it's going to be practically unaffordable. So what in y'all power is y'all going to do about that? Like, older people is going to have to pay more than younger people or healthier people. I didn't understand that, so I was wondering who and what is going to be done about that.
The important question, Cheryl. I'm going to let Commissioner Altman respond.
Sure. So, you know, before the Affordable Care Act, actually, of course, people could get denied coverage or charged whatever they want for pre-existing conditions, and we hear a lot about that. But we also need to remember that before the Affordable Care Act, people of an older age who tend to have higher healthcare costs just on average could be charged as many times more than a younger person for their coverage. And frankly, women could be charged more than men, and often were, because of the cost of pregnancy and childbearing. the Affordable Care Act, while it did allow for older individuals to be charged more than younger individuals to a 3-to-1 ratio, that limit is really something that we've never seen before. And the reason that's done, I certainly think you can argue it both ways, is to bring the young and healthy into the market by making their insurance affordable, and that allows the average price to go down for everyone. Now, I also want to mention that Republicans in Congress have actually talked about expanding that sort of range so that older people could be charged 5 times more than younger people instead of 3, and that is something that we have been strongly advocating against to make sure that that doesn't happen. So that's why that exists. That's sort of the history of it, and how we're trying to make sure it doesn't get worse than it is today.
Thank you, Cheryl.
Cheryl, thank you very much for your call. Commissioner Allman, I wanted to go back in just real quick because I think there's a understanding about the different plans and the costs and what's involved with them. Can you describe a little bit about the 3 different plans that are available on the exchange, and what are some of the benefits of selecting one relative to the other?
Are generally categorized by metal levels. So there are bronze plans, silver plans, gold plans, and in some areas, platinum plans. And in general, the more expensive the metal, the more generous the coverage. And so a bronze plan, which is the sort of lowest level plan, it will have the cheapest monthly premium. But there's a reason for that. The reason for that is that a bronze plan covers less after paying that monthly premium. Your deductible is higher, your copayment is higher, et cetera. And then you go up the chain. So a silver is a little bit more generous, a gold a little bit more generous than that, and a platinum is the most generous, where you'll pay a lot more in that monthly premium, but you'll have less costs when you need to receive or seek care. And so these are really trade-offs. One thing I'll say is our checkbook tool allows you to look at what we call total cost of care. So it'll ask you what your health status is. Are you healthy? Are you unhealthy? Are there any procedures you know you're going to need to have that year? And it'll actually calculate for you your total cost predicted throughout the year, including those 12 months of your premium payment, but also what you should expect to pay in that cost sharing. And I always encourage consumers to use that measurement over the monthly premium, because what I don't want to see is a big surprise when someone goes to the doctor, doesn't realize how large their deductible or copays is, and is has a bill that they didn't expect. So understanding all of those aspects of a health plan is really critical, and using those metal levels as a guide is also helpful. Now, this year, for those shopping on healthcare.gov, the silver plans may look more expensive than they should because of that decision not to pay CSRs, and gold plans and bronze plans may look more affordable. But the reason for that is because your financial assistance is based off of that silver plan premium. So as I talked about earlier in the call, the higher that premium goes, the more assistance you'll get to pay the monthly premium. And that's exactly why in Pennsylvania we decided to do it that way.
Thank you very much. Senator, we're coming down the home stretch. I know that you have some concluding comments, as well as Commissioner Allman. So, Senator.
Thank you so much, and thank you for participating in our telephone town hall discussion. This has been a great discussion. I want to thank again my guest, Acting Insurance Commissioner Jessica Altman. If you didn't have a chance to ask your question, please remain on the line. You'll be able to leave your question on a voicemail for me, and we will get back to you. Thank you again for your participation. I just wanted to share one more example of the benefits of going to a navigator in one of these events where the navigators are present. Last week, we had an individual come into one of the events that we had. She was paying $1,200 a month for her health insurance. It's my understanding she was using some of her pension to help pay for these health insurance plans. After speaking with the navigator, her monthly cost went from $1,200 to $400. That's saving $800 a month, almost $10,000 a year, as a result of spending time with a navigator who found a good plan for her with significant financial assistance. So this is the time to apply. Don't be afraid. This is the time. And let me just conclude. If you have any questions or additional or concerns, please call my office at 215-242-8171. You can also visit my website at www.senatorhaywood.com. We are there to serve you. Good night.
Commissioner Allman?
I just want to thank Senator Haywood and all of you on the phone for listening tonight. And just once again, shop for health insurance this year. It's so, heartwarming to hear these real stories of people who this year are finding coverage that is really much more affordable. And you may be one of those people, so it's worth taking a look. So get out and shop, and please do it by December 15th. And thank you all.
Thank you very much for participating in Senator Art Haywood's telephone town hall. I'd like to thank Commissioner Altman as well as Senator Haywood and all those who have participated and listened in this evening. You've been a wonderful audience, and thank you for sharing your evening.